ladies and gentlemen, Bristol Myers, makers of Sal Hepatica, Truchet, and Minute Rub, in cooperation with the drug, cosmetic, and allied industries, dedicate this program to Uncle Sam on behalf of the Treasury's War Bond campaign. And here's the star of our show, Eddie Cantor.
Nora Martin and I answer your many requests by repeating, well, what do you know? She smiled at me in my dreams last night. My dreams are getting better all the time. And what do you know? She looked at me in a different light. My dreams are getting better all the time. To think that we were strangers a couple of nights ago. And though it's a dream, I never dreamed she'd ever say hello. Oh, maybe tonight I'll hold her tight when the moonbeams shine. My dreams are getting better all the time. Well, what do you know? She smiled at me in my dreams last night. My dreams are getting better all the time. And what do you know? She looked at me in a different light. My dreams are getting better all the time. To think that we were strangers a couple of nights ago. And though it's a dream, I never dreamed she'd say hello. Oh, maybe tonight I'll hold her tight when the moonbeams shine. My dreams are getting better all the time. Sweetheart, those dreams, sweet dreams, our dreams are getting better all the time.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, it's remarkable what can happen to one man in one day, especially when that one man is Eddie Cantor. Man? Well, anyway, yesterday on our way to rehearsal in Eddie's car, I sat next to him, and as we drove along... Hey, Eddie.
Yep.
Tell me some more about your trip to Washington.
Oh, it was great, Harry. You must have seen the pictures. Well, Mrs. Roosevelt wore a formal gown, one of those long dresses that drag on the floor in the back. I can't get over that dress.
Why, what do you mean?
It was so unusual seeing a train on Eleanor.
Yeah, I'll bet that everyone important in politics was there.
Yep, they were all at the White House except Governor Dewey. He couldn't make it, again. Ah, but New York is doubly lucky. They've got a fine president in Washington and a swell governor in Albany. LaGuardia is listening in. Hello, Butch. I love you, too.
Say, Eddie.
Yep.
I listened to the broadcast of the inauguration, and it was the shortest ceremony on record.
All but one, when I married Ida.
That was a... That was a short ceremony?
The only person who spoke was me. I said to her father, put down that gun. We were married. Say, Harry, not only was the president's inaugural short, but they saved time on everything. They even had a buffet luncheon. Seems strange seeing hot dogs there.
Well, I don't know what's strange about that. We've had a Frank in the White House for years.
Yeah, a four-time wiener. Open the door, throw me out of the car.
Yeah, I think I should. Hey, Eddie,
yeah.
Why are you slowing up here?
I'm picking up Nora Martin and Leonard Seuss. There they are.
Oh, hello, kid.
Hello, children. Hiya, kid.
How are you?
Leonard, four people can't sit in the front seat. You and Nora get in the back.
Gee, it'll be lonesome there.
You can see why people flunk in biology.
What a dope.
He is not. This morning he took me to Griffith Park and we sat on the bench. And you know something? A policeman made Leonard stop.
Honestly?
Yes, he was playing his trumpet too loud.
How do you like that kid? He takes Nora to the park while he plays his trumpet.
Well, I can't ask the policeman to hold my music.
Sure, he would be off beat.
Let's go back to four-time wiener.
Yeah. You know, Harry, even with all his foolish answers, I have a feeling that Leonard can still grow up to be a jerk.
Listen, Leonard, didn't your father ever tell you about the birds and the bees?
Oh, yes. The birds fly and the bees sting.
So do you. Shut up.
Hey, Eddie, look.
What?
There's Bert Gordon, the mad Russian.
The Russian? Well, hello, Russian. How do you do? And tell me something. I always pick you up across the street when we go to rehearsal. What are you doing in front of the department store?
A little shoplifting.
You mean you were shopping? Shoplifting is stealing. For that, you can spend 5 years in San Quentin.
From 1935 to 1940, I was not in that there.
Well, listen to me, Russian. What is your motive in taking things without paying for them?
Patriotism.
Wait a minute. I don't get... That's patriotism?
Most of course.
Yeah?
When you are paying for something, they are wrapping it up.
Yeah.
No paying, no wrapping. No wrapping, no paper shortage.
Listen, Russian, you keep that up and you'll go back to San Quentin. Then what will your father say?
How do you do?
Wait a minute. Your father's in San Quentin? Why?
He was lonesome for mine two brothers.
Is there anybody in your family who is not in San Quentin?
Yes. Yes, my dear mother. Yeah. She's in Sing Sing.
Oh, now, wait, Russian, all this jail business. You know it isn't true, and I know it isn't true.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Yeah. Please let me out of this car so I can send a telegram of apologies to my family.
Yeah, now you're being a man. Here you are. We'll let you out.
Thank you.
See you at the studio. Don't forget to send the wire.
Take care, Ver.
Yes?
Do you spell San Quentin with a Q or a K?
Try a quabble, you. Goodbye. Get out of here.
Oh, Eddie, look.
Yeah.
That lady on the corner just missed the bus. Maybe we can give her a lift, huh?
Oh, yes. Mm-mm-mm. Oh, miss, can we give you a lift?
Thank you. I should never miss the bus. That driver slammed the door in my face.
Oh, he did, huh? Listen, catch that bus, Eddie. I'll tell him something.
Yeah, that's terrible, miss. I've been lucky. I've never had a bus driver slam the door in my face.
Then how come it looks like that?
Quietly.
Now, Eddie. Okay, just stay even with the bus for a minute. Hey, you, driver.
What do you want?
What's the big idea going around slamming doors in people's faces?
I hate people.
Let's get out of here. Let's get out, Harry.
Oh, no, we don't. I'm going to tell this guy off.
You are, huh? Well, let me tell you something, bud. If you had to listen to what I hear all day long, you'd get tough, too. Everybody's griping about everything. A couple of weeks ago when the war was going bad, it was all down in the mouth. But did they do something about it? Nah. Just blame the general. Now things are going good again. So they're back griping about the butter shortage and meat point. Oh, it's squawking. Well, the war was over, it could have all those things. But you think they'll do anything to hurry up the victory? Again, I reiterate. Nah. Look at me. I'm only a wage earner, and I got 10 little ones at home.
10? I thought I was doing good.
Yeah, another little one coming next month, see?
Oh, congratulations.
Congratulations, what for? I get a little one every month.
You do?
Certainly. The company delivers them to me.
What?
A $25 war fund every month.
Oh, that's what it is.
Now, why don't everybody smack in their jack and start backing the attack? Honestly, folks, I could be the happiest guy alive if you people would break loose with that 1875.
You said a mouthful, driver. Well, let's get going, Harry.
Eddie, at the rehearsal today, I think you ought to try out one of those Axis broadcasts. Have you heard any lately?
An Axis broadcast? Well, just last night. First, I tuned in on Berlin, and this is what came over. My dear people of the Third Reich, today over the Berlin radio, a special musical program will be broadcast to the enemy, to the Allies on the Western Front, and to the Russians on the Eastern Front. The Fuhrer will sing, Don't Fence Me In. The Russians have got a surprise coming to them. They have taken Warsaw, they have taken Budapest and Krakow, and now they are on the Oder River. Stalin claims he will soon take Berlin. That is where the surprise comes in. When the American and the British flyers get through, there won't be a Berlin to take. Oh, that's funny. What am I laughing at? The whole world is concerned over Hitler's physical and mental condition. To prove to you that he is in the best of health, we take you now to Berchtesgaden, where you will hear the Führer himself. Take it away, Berchtesgaden.
My Führer, if you please.
All those Americans.
We now take you to Tokyo.
Flashy flash. Imperial Japanese Navy has secured animal skins to keep Nipponese sailors warm. Every Japanese warship now has fur coat and hides. Message from Luzon, flashy flash. Today, by clever strategy, General Hishimoto managed to save face. Regret to report body still missing. Flashy flash. Nipponese more lucky than American people. There is no housing shortage here. Even after B-29s bombed Tokyo, you can find apartment on any street, up to 15 rooms, all in one pile. Say, Nora, before we get to rehearsal, how about running through your song, huh?
All right, Mr. Cantor.
Is home for a little while. Is mine once again. No need to tell, but it feels simply swell with him close to me like he's supposed to be. He's home for a little while. I lived for a kiss. I hit the skies when he looked in my eyes, and my knees grow weak with bliss. He sort of changed, he's kind of different from the boy I used to know a while ago. Strange how much he says without a word, and when he holds my hand, I understand I'm a he's mine by the law. We'll have to part, but he's close to my heart.
Better than an automobile, and you're doing a studio. That's a nice song, Nora. Maybe tomorrow I'll join you in the second chorus. How would that be?
Oh, it'd be wonderful to have you sing with me.
He's got us all bulldozed.
Oh, quiet, would you, Leonard, please?
Would you let me out here, please? Melrose and Wester.
Certainly. Gee, we made it faster than the bus, didn't we?
We certainly did. Thank you.
That's all right.
Oh, my friend, it's caught in the door. Wait a minute. Don't start the car. Don't start the car.
What's the matter?
What you've done to my dress.
Oh, gosh, I'm sorry. My goodness, Harry, her dress is half off. Do something.
Yes.
Wait a minute. Harry, stop applauding. This isn't a burlesque show.
Now, what about my dress? Look at it.
I'll take care. Harry, you drive the kids to the studio. I'll take care of this.
Yeah.
I'm terribly sorry, miss. I didn't mean.
Sorry? You should be sorry. You paid no attention to my screaming. You'll pay for this dress or I'll blacken your neck.
I didn't mean it.
I'll disgrace you.
I know.
I know you actors. I'll take you to court. There'll be blood tests.
Yep. But I didn't mean... Blood tests?
Yes, I'll prove that the blood on your fender is from my knee where it got scratched.
Well, calm yourself, lady. Look, here's a dress shop. Eloise of Hollywood.
You better pay for this dress.
Yeah, I'll pay for it. We'll step in here and get your new dress.
I'm Eloise. May I help you?
Yes, I'd like to buy a dress for this young lady.
Oh, well, here's a nice blue one for $97.50, miss, if you'd care to slip off that blouse and try it on.
This is no blouse. This is my dress.
Well, where's the rest of it?
I've got it here in my hand. I tore it.
You tore it?
Yes, he paid no attention to my screaming.
Oh, my goodness. You people will have to get out of the store.
Wait a minute. I'm trying to explain. Maybe you better explain it, Miss...
William.
I'm Eddie Cantor.
How do you do?
How do you do?
You don't even know each other?
No, I just picked her up.
Picked her up?
Yes, that's how my dress got torn.
Wait a minute. Yes, that's... You see, that's how it happened, Eloise. I don't like the tone of what you're not saying. Miss Williams, you go in and put on the dress. Here, Eloise, here's $100. You can keep the other $2.50. Here's the
money.
Well,
I don't know what to do. I can't understand Eddie Cantor buying a dress for a strange woman.
Well, I had to do it. She said she'd sue me.
Gosh, you too?
Yeah, it's getting so nowadays, if you want to see a comedian, you've got to go to court. Goodbye.
Oh, Mrs. Von Zell, I didn't know you were still in the store.
Yes, I was standing behind the dress rack. Was that Eddie Cantor buying a dress for that woman?
Yes. Do you know him?
Oh, I know him, and I also know Ida. Where's the telephone?
Straight down that corridor.
Thank you.
Having paid for the damage to the young lady's dress, Eddie finished his rehearsal at the studio and, like any good family man, rushed home. He couldn't wait to put his arms around Ida, who couldn't wait to get her hands on him.
Oh, Ida! 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 Sweet as apple cider! Oh, girl, sorry if I woke you up. Hello, Janet. Hello, Marjorie. Natalie. Marilyn. Edna. What goes on? Oh, hello, Ida. What's the matter with the girls? They aren't speaking to me. Ida. Ida, what's the... What? Let me in. Ida, what's the matter? What's wrong with the girls?
You mean our girls or your girls?
What do you mean, my girls? You had just as much to do... Forget it. Tell me, Ida. Ida, what is the idea of the blankets and the cot here in the kitchen?
Well, you have to sleep someplace.
Oh, you want me to sleep in the kitchen? You want me to watch the icebox? You got butter in it, huh?
The butter goes upstairs with me.
Upstairs with you?
Yeah, I'll have custody of that, too.
Well, Ida, why can't I sleep in my own room?
You'll find out from my lawyer.
He's sleeping in my room?
Now, don't play innocent. Stop pretending. A lot of men, when they get to be your age, do the same thing.
Sleep in the kitchen?
You know what I mean. I can stand for anything from you, but another woman? That's too much.
It's too much for me, too. What are you getting at?
It's too unpleasant. Tomorrow there'll be a legal separation.
Separation? Ida Tobias, you've been drinking. A legal separation? Surely you don't mean that. It's ridiculous. It's fantastic. It's expensive.
And so are new dresses.
New dresses, Ida. Oh, Ida, now I know what you're mad at. Someone told you. Believe me, darling, it was nothing. The girl I gave a lift to ripped her dress in the car, so I bought her a new dress.
That's lying won't help.
I'm not... Ida, look, you can't get a separation. Leave me without my wife, without my children, without anything to talk about on my program.
No use. I don't believe a word you're saying, and my mind is made up.
You can't do... All right. And it's goodbye. And you know what that means.
Oh, wait a minute, Eddie.
Yeah.
We may be seeing each other for the last time. And before you go...
Yes, Ida.
Hand over your ration book.
Well, gee, I'm sorry to hear about you and Ida quarreling, Eddie, but you're welcome to spend the night here, of course.
Yeah, thank you, Harry. Gosh, a separation. Ida never pulled that before. We've been married 30 years, and the number of fights Ida and I have had, I can count on one hand.
You can?
Yeah, the other one she broke. You have trouble with your wife like this, Harry?
Oh, no, Eddie. I know how to handle women.
Sure.
I let her know who's boss.
Yeah, you do?
Yeah, and if she doesn't want to be boss, the heck with her. Well, I know it's tough on you, Eddie, but... You can stay here in the nursery with Eddie Cantor Bonzell Jr. tonight, huh?
Thanks. Good night, Harry.
Good night, Eddie.
Gee, I must dream about it. Gosh, I hope someone locates that woman. That'll clear me. Ida can't do this to me.
Marshal.
Hello, Junior. I'm sorry I woke you up. But, Junior, you don't know the troubles your Uncle Eddie has. She wanted me to sleep in the kitchen. Even took the butter upstairs.
Yeah.
After 30 years of married life, Ida's going to leave me.
At my age, she gets jealous.
More than jealous?
Yes. She wasn't like that years ago. Years ago, she wasn't like that. There I was, 27 years old, in the Ziegfeld Follies, with the most beautiful girls in the world, and I'd have found no reason to leave me then. She had to wait till now. I feel terrible. Who knows where to find those girls today?
Gosh.
I bet you feel sorry for your Uncle Eddie. I wonder what you're trying to say with that goo, goo. Huh? What are you trying to say, huh?
Goo. Goo. Such excitement. Popeye says he's been married 30 years and has never been in this kind of trouble before. He means he's never been caught before. I hope when I grow up, I'll never get tied up in a triangle. If I ever get out of this one. Aren't women funny? My mommy can spot lipstick behind my daddy's ear a block away, but she can't see a stoplight in front of her nose. What we men go through. Gee whiz. Work hard all day, come home expecting a warm supper, then find a note saying, on top of the icebox is the can opener. Some men propose to a delicate creature, then find out they've married to a delicate test sentence. Poor Popeye. I hate to see him so sad. He's so tender. He should be. He's always in hot water. Uh-oh, look at him. He's gonna cry. With those eyes yet. Here come the tears. Oh, for heaven's sake. Hey, Mom, head for the hills. The dam is broken.
I didn't sleep a wink all night from worrying. The only way I can stop Ida's foolishness is to find that girl. Hello? Hello? I wonder why that Russian doesn't answer.
Don't rush me. Don't rush me.
Russian, what took you so long to answer the phone?
I was just about to get into my bathtub.
Oh.
Am I glad you called?
Russian, you've got to help me. I'm in terrible trouble. My wife is leaving me.
I'm in bigger trouble than you are.
Why?
My wife isn't.
Look, Russian, the only way I can clear myself is to find that girl I bought the dress for. And if you can locate her, I'll give you $250.
What?
I said I'd give you $150. $50. Well, Russian, what do you say?
Will you please review the bidding?
Russian, I'll give you anything. Do you think you can help me?
Kemper, in my young detective days, I was famous for my slogan, Cherchez la femme, look for the woman.
Do you solve many cases that way?
No, but I find lots of women. Yow!
Russian, you've got to find that girl. We don't have much to go by, and it's going to take great detective work.
Don't worry. Don't worry. To get out of the house, I shall put on a disguise. My own wife wouldn't recognize me.
How can you disguise yourself so your own wife wouldn't recognize you?
Very simple. I'll take that bath.
Afterwards. Do you know where you're going, Russian?
What?
I said, do you know where you're going, Russian?
We don't just know where we're going. Silly boy.
Well, I'm glad I'm here at my lawyer's. But Mr. Flugelflutz, you handle a lot of domestic cases. And I'm telling you, after 30 years, this isn't fair. Besides, if I know Ida, she'll sue me for every cent she's got.
Well, Cantor, you should have thought of that before you got involved.
Mr. Flugelflutz, Mrs. Cantor is on her way in.
Oh. Hello, Mrs. Cantor.
Oh, hello, Mr. Flugelflutz.
Yeah. Hello, Mrs. Cantor.
Ida Tobias to you.
Oh, I see. Ida, look, I beg your pardon, but tell me if I may inquire about your health. How have you been?
Fine, thank you.
And how are the children?
Fine.
And the butter? Ida, give me one more chance, please. We've been together 30 years.
I knew the day I married you it would never last.
Ida, 30 years, that's not one of those furlough things, you know. If you just give me a chance to find that woman, I could clear myself.
No, it's too late, Eddie. We'll divide the property and go our separate ways.
Divide the property? What? Mm-hmm. Don't you think we should stick together at least for a little while?
Can you give me one good reason why we should?
Well, five children you can't divide. Now, if there were six,
Thank you. Well, here are the papers. Oh, this is my secretary, Miss Williams.
Miss Williams? Miss Williams! Ida, look! This is the girl I've been looking for!
Mr. Cantor!
I can explain everything, Miss Williams. Will you please tell my wife what happened yesterday? Tell her the whole story.
Oh, Mrs. Cantor, let me tell you first of all, your husband is a perfect gentleman. Here's what happened.
Yes,
the bus driver slammed the door in my face. Well, you could have knocked me over with a feather. My mother told me to get up early. It wouldn't happen to me. My brother Joe took the alarm clock into his room and he was out with a beautiful girl. I think they're engaged.
Now that she's explained everything, Eddie, darling, forgive me.
Never. You've made me suffer too much. You've made me suffer too much. You go your way, and I'll go my way.
You're not coming home?
Not even if you had pot roast. No. Not in a million years.
Oh, look, Eddie. I'm down here on my knees begging for forgiveness.
Oh, I forgive you. I forgive you. Get up. Get up, Ida. Get up. Get up. Get up. Get up.
Mr. Kenner, you're a generous guy to forgive your wife like this.
Generous nothing. That's her only pair of nylons. Get up, Ida. Get up. Get up.
Folks, all of that happened to our hero, Eddie Cantor, in just one day.
Yeah, but everything is fine now, Harry. And next Wednesday, January 31st, which is my birthday, Ida's throwing a big party. You're invited, and we'll have all my other friends on the show, including George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Oh. Look, Eddie, if you're going to have a party, that means I'll have to be buying you a present.
No. Big switch this year, baby. Everybody that comes to my party is going to get a present.
No.
Yes? A present with a future.
Deeper.
A $25 war bond. And remember, friends, bonds buy bullets for battles, tanks, ships, planes. But bonds can do more than that. Yes, the bonds you buy can build a bridge. A bridge upon which our men can cross safely home again. Bonds will buy us the things we want when the war is over. Bonds are security, but bonds are more than that. Think of them as envelopes in which we have wrapped our hearts and sent them across the seas to let the fighting man know we want him back. Ladies and gentlemen, victory is in sight. It may come tomorrow if you buy a bond today. And remember, I love to spend each Wednesday with you. As friend to friend, I'm sorry it's true. I'm telling you just how I feel. I hope you
good night. The Eddie Cantor program, which is rebroadcast through the Armed Forces Radio Service to our fighting men overseas, was presented tonight in cooperation with the Drug, Cosmetic, and Allied Industries by Bristol-Myers, makers of Sal Hepatica, Truchet, and Minute Rub, and dedicated to the United States Treasury's War Bond Campaign.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.